Good morning. Happy Resurrection morning. Trust that you're well and that you've had a good week and a great weekend. We want to look into the Word of God today and believe God to speak into our lives and touch our hearts afresh. The Word of God is always refreshing and His mercies are always new every morning. So let's get into the Word of God. Well, let me pray first. Father, we pray that you will bless our time together. We pray, dear God, that you'll anoint us, give us ears that are open and hearts that are receptive. Yes. We honor you today. You're a great God. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week, we talked on the kingdom of God suffering violence and the violent taking the kingdom by force. Some people have responded and said that they didn't think that was what that meant. And some people think that it's the kingdom suffering violence is the devil persecuting the kingdom, and that the only problem with that view is that the kingdom can't be taken by the devil. There will be 50 million Satans, they still can't take the kingdom. However violent they may be, they still can't take the kingdom. So it must be talking about something different. And the Bible says the kingdom suffers violence and the violent take it by force. So let's have a look at the scriptures in Matthew chapter 11 at the context of what Jesus was talking about and give us some understanding of why we said what we said last week. So we're starting from chapter 11, verse 1. It came to pass when Jesus finished commanding his 12 disciples that he departed from there to teach and to preach in their cities. Jesus was ministering to the disciples, having commanded them to go out and heal the sick and raise the dead. The deaf ears will be open, blinded eyes will be open, and crippled legs will begin to walk. He talked to them about persecution and things like that, and he talked to them about being kind, especially at that particular time, to be kind. Even if you give a cup of cold water to a disciple, your reward will be there. And even at this time in our lives, in the lockdown, that we need to extend grace and hospitality to those that need the hospitality. So Jesus spoke to his disciples about that. And then he turned around and he saw two of John's disciples coming to Jesus. John is now in jail. And John probably is now disillusioned, thinking that Jesus should have come and let him loose, let him out. And so he sent two of his disciples to ask Jesus a question. Are you the Messiah? Are you the one we are waiting for? Or shall we look for another? And Jesus said, go and tell John what you've heard and what you've seen. Tell John that the deaf ears are unstopped. The blinded eyes are open. The muted can talk. The demon possessed have the demons cast out of them. The dead are raised. And the gospel is preached to the poor. Now, the gospel is the gospel of the kingdom. And what Jesus said was actually what Isaiah said. Isaiah. So Jesus actually fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. And Jesus was saying to the disciples of John, go back to John and tell John what you've heard and what you've seen. This is what Isaiah prophesied. Now, one of the things about God and about the kingdom and about living for God is your experience in God may be great, but God will always prioritize the scriptures. It is written, it is written, it is written. When Paul was talking to the church about resurrection, he said, Jesus Christ died according to the scripture. He was buried according to the scripture. He rose again according to the scripture. And then he was seen. So the encounter of experience that are personal are great. But as far as Paul's concerned, as the scripture's concerned, what is written is primary. Peter said, we saw Christ on the mountain of transfiguration and we heard the voice from the excellent glory, but there is a more sure word of prophecy. What is that? It is what is written. So Jesus said to the disciples of John, go back and tell John, and then Jesus tell them what to tell John, but what Jesus told them was already prophesied by Isaiah the prophet. And after that, after talking to his disciples and the disciples of John, Jesus then turned to the multitude that was following him and asked them this question, what did you go out to the wilderness to see? Did you go out to see a reed shaken by the wind? What did you go out to the wilderness to see? You go out to the wilderness to see somebody clothed in fine clothing? Is it those people are in king's palaces? What did you go out to see? You went out to see a prophet and more than a prophet. So the people went out to the wilderness. Now that's an amazing thing. I mean, John was in the wilderness, and people went out to see John and heard him preach. What did he preach? He preached the gospel of the kingdom. And then Jesus said something about John. He said, this was the one that was prophesied by Isaiah. So again, he goes back to the scriptures and he said, I will send my messenger before you who will prepare the way for you. Now you understand that there has not been a prophet for 400 years. God has been silent. There has been priests still performing their rituals, like John's dad, Zechariah, went to the temple faithfully. When it's time for his turn in the family lineage to offer sacrifices, he will go to the temple and perform his duty. So there were priests, there were Pharisees and scribes that were teaching their understanding of the Torah and the law, but there's never been a prophet for 400 years. No wonder people went in droves into the wilderness to see John and to hear what he had to preach. So Jesus said to the people that were there, what did you go out to see? Did you go out to see a reed shaken by the wind? Or did you go out to see somebody dressed like Pastor Illy on Sunday morning? Those people live in palaces. No, you went out to see a prophet. And then he said, and more than a prophet. For this is, he said of John, this John, he said, no one that was ever born of a woman is greater than John. John is the greatest prophet of all the Old Testament lineage, everybody included. He said, anyone that is born of woman, John is greater than them. Let me say this. If you're here today, you're born of a woman, and you're not born again, John is greater than you. But then Jesus said, but the least who is born of the Spirit, the least who is born again, that one is greater than John. Why? Because John was born of a woman, but when you're born in the Spirit, you're not born of a woman, you're born of the insides of God. No one can see the kingdom, no one can enter the kingdom unless they are born again. Amen. And then Jesus said something that many times people are thrown. He said, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. And this is where people often, they think, they said, well, John was persecuted, Jesus was persecuted, the kingdom is persecuted. But the only problem with that is the Bible says those that were violent took the kingdom. Now, if the devil's violent and he can take the kingdom has no power. The devil, as I said before, 50 million Satans can't even defeat the kingdom. They can't even take the kingdom. Nothing of the kingdom will ever be taken by anybody. So there must be something different than what it is said according to our perspective. Because the Bible says this kingdom will never, ever, ever be shaken. Other kingdom will be shaken. But this kingdom that we belong to, that those that have made Christ the Lord of their lives, this kingdom will never be shaken. It has no end. And Jesus said, if you seek first this kingdom, all the other things will be added unto you. But you have to seek first this kingdom. So what did Jesus mean to when he said, the kingdom suffers violence and the violent take it by force? The meaning of the word violent in the Bible in the Greek text is biazo. It means to press in or to seize, to grab a hold, to seize, but it also means to be seized. You seize something, but that something can also seize you. To seize or be seized. The word violent comes from a word that's like biasso, it's biastis. It means to be forceful, to press in, to be energetic, to be forceful, a forcer. Now, what is happening is that because there has not been a prophet for 400 years, and there's not been a king for all that amount of time, and the people were just talking about the kingdom and not know what the kingdom is. Now, the Pharisees and the scribes used to say to the people in their interpretation of the Torah that unless you do what we tell you and what we're saying, you'll never enter the kingdom. So this is what Jesus said about the Pharisees and the scribes. It's in Matthew 23, verse 13. It says, "But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you neither go in yourselves, nor do you allow those who want to enter in to go in." So he was saying, you hypocrites, scribes and Pharisees, you shut up the kingdom of heaven so that people can't get in, because they want you say to the people they can only come to know heaven and know God through your rituals and your system. And Jesus called them hypocrites. He said, you don't even know the kingdom. You can't even enter in. And anybody that is trying to enter in, you stop them from entering in. That's the only kingdom they've ever known. And the Pharisaical system that they want to obey to be able to get into the kingdom. Jesus said, The Pharisees are hypocrites. You don't even know the kingdom. You're trying to stop people that want to get into the kingdom. That's why we said last time, when the woman with the issue of blood, when Jesus, the King of the kingdom, was going to Jairus' house, we said last time it was going to the centurion's house, going to the house of Cornelius. And I told the staff on Monday, I just given Cornelius a daughter that was sick. No, he was going to the house of Jairus. Jesus did not come to heal that woman. But that woman broke through against all odds, against all cultural norm, against the Pharisaical system. That woman broke through and touched the hem of his garment, and Jesus stopped. The King of the kingdom stopped. Why? Somebody intercepted him. Somebody moved in with faith. And when Jesus said, "Who touched me?" Peter said, "Everybody's touching you." Jesus said, "Somebody touched me because I felt power flowed out." Mm-hmm. Now, the prophet Malachi said this, "The Son of Righteousness will arise with healings in his wings." The prayer shawl that they used to wear and they still do used to be called wings. They probably don't call that anymore, but they probably still are. And then when the woman touched the wings, the hem of his garment, Jesus probably said, "Somebody believe Malachi. Somebody believe what is written. I felt virtue go out." But the woman came and intercepted the Lord. I think that's what the Bible says about the kingdom suffering violence, and the violent take it by force. In the mid 1980s, a man from the United States came to New Zealand to speak. His name was Dr. Roy Hicks. He was the general supervisor of the Four Square Churches of America. And he told a story. I was at the conference, I was there. He told a story of him doing a meeting, a healing meeting in one of the states. And he began to call out healings, like I called out that bladder condition last week. And he called out healings and he said, "Somebody with a broken back is being healed right now. at the back of the auditorium, there were, you know, there was somebody in a wheelchair. I think there were several people in, but this particular one, somebody said, "Hey, that's you." And the man said, "It can't be me. I've got a broken back." And the person said, "That's what the man said. A man with a broke, somebody with a broken back is being healed." And the guy hopped off his wheelchair and wheeled a wheelchair out of the auditorium, totally 100% healed. During the course of the week, somebody took a tape of that meeting to somebody that was in the hospital. That person in the hospital apparently suffered an accident and has now got a broken back. He was not at the meeting. And the person at the hospital was listening to the tape. And when it came to the time when Dr. Hicks called out, "Somebody's being healed of a broken back. This man at the hospital had a broken back from an accident." That guy said, "That's me." And he hopped off the bed and went home. That is what taking the kingdom by force means. He was not even at the meeting. He didn't even know Dr. Hicks. But when he heard it, he reached out by faith and grab a hold of his healing. When Jesus said to the disciples of John, "Go tell John, the sick are healed, the leprous are being cleansed," and all these are signs of the kingdom. And he said, "Go tell John that." That man at the hospital was not at the meeting, but he laid a hold of that promise by faith, and he got healed. You see that in the scriptures. You also see that in the natural. I don't care if the salvation is provided, unless you reach out and take it for yourself, you're going to hell on roller skates. But it doesn't matter what your background is, educated, uneducated, a sinner or whatever, if you lay a hold of the kingdom by faith, great things will come and you will know the peace of God Almighty that surpasses all understanding. The Bible says in Mark chapter 1, that Jesus, talk and find my reference. Jesus was going by and a man that was a leper. A man that was a leper, it says, now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him and saying to him, if you are willing, you can make me clean. That's Mark chapter 1 verse 40. What is wrong with that? The guy got healed, you say. The only problem is lepers are not meant to be with people. But when you're desperate, you'll do desperate things. That leper should be outside, and even if he comes close to where people are, he's supposed to call out unclean. That man approached the King of the Kingdom amidst everything else that was against him coming to the King. He said, "If you're willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out and he said, "Be healed, be cleansed." And that man was healed. That man should not have been there. But the kingdom suffers violence. There is a violent faith. There is a daring faith that worketh by love. Amen. And when you minister and when you reach out, whether you're being ministered to or not, if you reach out by faith, God will touch your life. Barriers will be broken. One of the rabbinical picture of that is God is out there. You're fenced in like the people that were fenced out of the mountain where God appeared in the Old Testament. So you're fenced out. God is there. And you break through the fence to get to God. The kingdom suffers violence. The violent take it by force. A woman, a sinner, the Bible says, came to the house of Simon the Pharisee. Simon invited Jesus for a meal. And this woman, who was a sinner, a woman with a reputation, everybody in the city knew the reputation, everybody knew she was a sinner, even Simon the Pharisee knew she was a sinner. And she came in, broke through all the barriers. Mm-hmm. Now, the Pharisees and the prostitutes are not good to each other. If you come with a reputation like that, you'll be blocked at the door. That woman busted through, came in, and sat at the feet of Jesus, poured the oil on his feet, cried, and then wiped his feet with her hair. Jesus said to Simon, let me tell you a story. Two people owed somebody some money, one 500, the other 50. And he says, and their creditor forgave them both. Who loved more? And Simon said, I suppose the one that was forgiven more. Jesus said, you see this woman, when I came into your house, and this is your house, you didn't even give me a kiss on the cheek. You didn't give me anything to wash my feet with. She came in, she washed my feet with her tears, wiped it with her hair, and she's kissed my feet. And everywhere this gospel will go, her name will go for the act of love, the act of love that she's done. The kingdom suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. Jesus was walking by with his disciples. Syrophoenician woman came calling, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. The disciples said, send her away. Jesus did not answer that woman, not even a word. And when he did, he said to the woman, I am sorry, I didn't come for you. I came only for the lost sheep of the tribe of Israel. The woman, instead of turning back, came and knelt down before him and said, help me, Lord. And Jesus said, I can't give the bread of my children and feed it to the dogs. The woman said, true, Lord, but even the dogs can eat the crumbs. Can I have a crumb? Jesus said, woman, go home. Great is your faith. What you've asked will be granted. What is that? That's violence. That's the kingdom suffering violence. And the violent taking the kingdom by force. The Bible also says you not only seize something, as we said last week, it's almost like you're seizing something that is either before time or seizing something that doesn't belong to you. But the Bible also says you seize or you are being seized. So the kingdom itself can be quite violent. The Caesars persecuted the kingdom. Where are the Caesars today? Everybody that has persecuted the kingdom still keeps coming, and the kingdom gets into jail, it gets into prostitution, it gets into human trafficking, and save people, because not only do you seize the kingdom can seize you. And if you'll allow God, God is far more powerful than you think. And he will get a hold of your life. Jesus said, no one comes to me except that my Father brings them to me. And everyone that comes to me, no one can take out, because my Father is mighty and no one can take him out of his hand. Amen. So we come to resurrection morning and we see the power of the King and the power of this kingdom to be able to invade the darkness. How do you invade darkness? You don't rebuke the darkness. You don't fight the darkness. You light a light. The light has a power and a violence to invade the darkness. And Jesus died on Friday. Now I know that he didn't literally die on Friday last week, but let's just go with the tradition. And rose again this morning. The kingdom seized death and broke its power. But let's look at again at this. Look at Mary of Magdala. The Bible says she was the woman that Jesus cast out seven demons. She must have loved the Lord to be able to be set free. And on resurrection morn, when all the disciples were hiding away and people were hiding away, she went to the tomb. That's right. Amidst everything that was going on, she pierced the darkness, going to the tomb to find her Lord and Savior. It's the third day since the dawning of the third day. She got there and the tomb was open. She came back and told John and Peter, and John and Peter ran to the tomb. They looked in and they turned back and went home again. They saw the clothes that he was buried in and he was not there, and they left. Mary walked into the tomb again and saw, and she saw two angels. I wonder if you will look again and see God conquering death. The kingdom ceasing death. Now death has no sting. The grave has no victory. Paul said, death, where's your sting? Grave, where's your victory? If you know Jesus Christ, you're part of the kingdom. Death holds no sting for you. Yep. Grave holds no victory, because Jesus Christ has conquered death and the grave. The kingdom suffers violence. The violent take it by force. Let God touch your heart today and reach in and take the kingdom by force. Paul said to the church in Ephesus, the Lord has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. That means everything has been given. It's up to us now to reach out and touch it. Take the kingdom. Take the king. Your sin can be forgiven. Your weaknesses can be made strong.
Yeah.
Your bondage can be broken. Your heavy burden can be lifted. Because the kingdom can suffer violence. And the violent can take it by force. Take it for yourself. Because it's available. Not only that, the kingdom is able to seize you. Wherever you are, wherever you may be. However deep you're in when you think there's no answers. Jesus said, if you find the kingdom, you'll find everything. And even the rest that you don't have will be added unto you. Happy Resurrection Sunday. Let us pray. Father, we thank you.
Thank you, Jesus.
We honor you today. We pray, dear God, that you'll bless your people. Lord, that they will reach out, even as that woman reached out and touched the hem of your garment, and she was healed. Even as a Syrophoenician woman who followed you for the healing of her daughter. Father, today I pray, extend your grace and let grace, Lord God, abound, and let faith, Lord God, abound to reach out to you, Lord God.
Yes.
And people be blessed. We thank you today. Bless your people. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Have a great week ahead. Amen.